us from your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now today we're going to talk about change. We're going to talk about before and after. So we've got that up on the screen. As an illustration, here's a picture of someone in the church family you might recognise. If you're a visitor, you won't recognise this guy. This was the before picture, and this is after. And I remember the day after this change had happened, I didn't realise it had happened, but I was in the park, and I spotted Luke and his family from afar. Well, I spotted his family anyway. It was quite a long way away. I could see Hannah, his wife. I could see his daughter, Ivy. And I thought, who's that other lady with them? who's that with Luke's hat on? And as I got closer, I realised, it's Luke. The beard had gone. You've changed. And that's true of the guys who are getting baptised today. Anna, Roger, Josh, Sherelle, Caroline. I know where you are now. That's good. That's true of you. You've changed. Not on the outside, but on the inside. Something amazing has happened. You've changed. Today we've heard the stories about how you each came to love the Lord Jesus. We've heard the stories of how God changed you. And we're going to celebrate that a bit later by getting you wet, dunking you in this big bathtub over here. But it's a story of how God has changed you already. So when we do the baptisms, that's not going to change anything. In fact, the only thing that's going to change today is you're going to go from being warm and dry to cold and wet. That's the only change. It doesn't change anything on the inside. This is something that has already happened to you. And I just want to consider one verse today which explains the change that has happened for these guys and for everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus. It's 1 Peter 2 verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's a sentence written to Christians. There's a before and an after. And there are two things that have changed. So here's the first thing. Before, you didn't belong. Look at the first part of verse 10 again. He says, once you were not a people. Once you were not part of God's people. You didn't belong. Now that might seem like a weird thing to say to the guys who are getting baptized today, because we've heard their stories. They've all had religious backgrounds. In fact, Caroline, Sherelle, Roger and Anna have all been baptized before when they were children. Caroline herself said that when she was filling in forms, she would always tick the box which said Christian. But the Bible says to Christians, once you didn't belong. You weren't actually part of God's people. Belonging to the people of God is not about having a religious background. It's not about ticking a box on a form. It's not even about coming along to church. Just coming into this church building doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you one of God's people. Like Roger said, it wasn't enough for him to be baptized when he was younger. He needed to understand the gospel for himself. And so everyone is very welcome, of course you are, to come along on a Sunday. Everyone is very welcome to be part of our church family, but not everyone who is here is actually one of God's people. Not everyone belongs as part of God's people. Imagine an invisible line which divides the room today. And on one side of the line, you've got people who belong, people who are God's people. On the other side of the line are those who don't belong, who aren't God's people. And it's not just like a straight line down the middle. It's not that you guys all belong and you guys don't belong. Actually, it's a wiggly line. It goes in between us and it never makes a mistake. But all of us are one side of that line. Either we are part of God's people, we belong, or we are not part of God's people. We don't belong. I wonder which one it is for you. If you ask yourself that question, can you say with confidence which side of the line you are on? Caroline? Sherelle? Anna? Josh? Roger? That used to be you. Once upon a time, you were on the other side of the line. You didn't belong. But you've changed. You've crossed the line. That's what we're celebrating today. Before, you didn't belong, but now, after, you belong. You've crossed the line. Once you were outside of God's people, but now you are on the inside. And that is an amazing privilege. Just think about it. If you're a Christian here this morning, God chose you, He loved you, and He went out to find you. And He said, Joshua, I want you to be mine. And He said, I want Anna to be one of my people. And He said, I want Caroline to be one of my people. I want Sherelle to be one of my people. I want Roger to be one of my people. And if you're a Christian, your name could be put in there as well. I want you to be one of mine. God went and sought you. He went out to find you. He chose you. He made you one of His. It's an amazing privilege. And it's really cool to be part of God's people because God's people get to go to God's place. Caroline told us, she opened testimony by saying that she used to be headed for death. She said, I was heading for eternal death. And that's true for everyone here who doesn't belong to God's people. But Caroline, you've changed. You used to be headed for death, but now no longer. Now you belong. Now you're God's people. Now you can be sure that after life here on earth, you will live forever with Him in heaven. There's an invisible line dividing this room. How do you know which side of the line you're on? Here's how. If you are trusting that Jesus died in your place and rose again to forgive you for the things that you've done wrong, then you belong. You're one of God's people. And I think that is a reason to celebrate today, right? No one's saying hallelujah, no one's partying. But you should be, because that is an amazing privilege. If you are trusting Jesus this morning, you belong as part of His people. Many of us here today, including the guys who are getting baptized today, they're going through really tough times. We heard about that in the stories. But the wonderful thing is, if God has changed you, if you're one of God's people, then one day all of that pain, all of that suffering, all of that hardship will end because you'll be God's people in God's place. Praise God that you've changed. That's the first thing. You didn't belong, now you belong. Here's the second. You needed help. Before, you needed help. Look at the second half of that verse again. He says, once you had not received mercy. Mercy is help for those who need help. The guys who have given their testimonies today have suffered in all sorts of different ways. There are lots of tough things that are going on in their lives right now. But for each of them, their greatest need is actually the same. And for each of us, our greatest need is actually the same. The Bible says we need help. We have a problem that is bigger than anything else we've ever experienced. It's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is rebellion against the God who made us. God made us and He loves us, and so we should love Him and live for Him. But the fact is that we don't. If we're honest with ourselves, we rebel against this God. And that shows itself in all sorts of different ways. It shows in the wrong things that we do. It shows in the wrong things that we say. It shows in the wrong things that we think. It's something that affects everyone. No one is perfect. We've all done and said and thought wrong things. And the Bible explains that that is a really big problem because it means that we're in serious danger. Rebellion has consequences. We're on a runaway train, and the train is heading over the edge of a cliff. There is the danger of death, the eternal death of being separated from the life-giving God. And the really scary thing is, we are helpless to do anything about it. We are buckled into the train, and we can't get it undone. We can't undo our rebellion against God. No matter how hard we try, we could never change ourselves. We can't make ourselves perfect. And the people who are getting baptized today, they know this. This is what life was like before the change. You needed help. And maybe there are some of us this morning who are still in that situation. You are strapped into the runaway train. You are headed over the cliff to eternal death. You need help. One of the things that came out in all of the stories today is that Jesus is the one who helps those who need help. There's another true story. It's found in the Bible, and it's about a blind man. Back in those days, there wasn't much help available for people who had disabilities. And so this blind man was forced to be a helpless beggar. He sat at the side of a road, and he was listening to the footsteps of the people who rushed past, desperately begging for help. And one day he had an amazing opportunity. He heard that Jesus was coming along his road. And so he sat, and he waited, and he listened. And when he heard Jesus walking by, he cried out at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Help." And everyone around him told him to shut up and be quiet. You're messing things up. But he shouted all the louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Help." This blind man knew that he was helpless, and he knew that Jesus could help. He said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus healed him. What an amazing change. He went from helpless to helped. And for Caroline, for Sherelle, for Roger, for Josh, for Anna, you've changed. You've gone from needing help, but now you've been helped. Your eyes have been opened to see Jesus for who he really is. And you're on a process now of seeing him more clearly. And we love to see that happening in your lives. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the God who was rebelled against by mankind. And yet he chose to step into this world and become a man. I've rebelled against him. You've rebelled against him. And yet he became one of us. He lived a life which was free of rebellion. He never went against God his Father. He never said anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. And he never did anything wrong. He wasn't helpless. He didn't need help. And because he'd never rebelled, he wasn't on that runaway train. He wasn't headed over a cliff. There was no danger of death. And yet Jesus chose death. He could have helped himself. He could have avoided death. But the Bible makes it very clear that he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and lifted up. And on this cross, not only did he physically die, but the Bible describes how he also suffered the full punishment of eternal death. The agony of separation from God his Father. And as Jesus hung there, as he hung there limp and naked, he looked helpless. In fact, everyone else was mocking him for being helpless. But Jesus chose to die helpless so that we could be helped. Like Josh said, Jesus died so that we could be forgiven, so that barrier could be removed, so that Jesus can show us mercy. That was the only way we could ever be helped. We can't help ourselves. But Jesus can. And that's the message I want to share with you, if you don't know that already. Jesus can help. He never rebelled. And so when he suffered the rebel's penalty, he was suffering in my place. Jesus never sinned. And so when he suffered a sinner's death, he was doing it in my place. Jesus chose to die helpless so that we could be helped. And when you cry out for Jesus for help, the danger of death disappears because Jesus has paid it all. Even though we physically die, we will live forever with him. A life which is secure, a life which is sure, because Jesus did not stay dead, but rose again and is alive today. The guys who are getting baptized today, they know that to be true. They know it for themselves. Just like Cheryl described, she reached a point in her understanding where she knew that she needed to ask for forgiveness for all of the times that she had sinned. She cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Maybe not in those words, but that's what you said. "Jesus, have mercy on me." And so now, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You've changed. That's the story of Caroline, Cheryl, Joshua, Anna, and Roger. There's a before and there's an after. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to be straightforward and easy. We've heard Anna talking about the pain that she suffers every day. Earlier on this week, Anna described it as labour pain. The intensity of pain for when a woman gives birth, that is what Anna suffers all of the time. Can you imagine that? And yet she is trusting the Lord Jesus. And she knows that he is there by her side. So it doesn't change everything straight away. And Anna is looking forward to the day when her body is free from pain. But it does mean that right now, inside, there has been a massive change. If you're a Christian this morning, praise God. Because God has done something amazing in your life. You've changed. And so it's right that we're going to celebrate that in a few moments' time. We're going to get all of these guys in this pool and celebrate the change that God has done in their life. But before we do, I just want to close by talking to those of us here who as of yet are not trusting the Lord Jesus. Or perhaps you're not sure which side of the invisible line you're on at the moment. Are you one of God's people? Are you not? Some of us still don't belong to the people of God. Some of us are on the wrong side of that line. And like I said before, you're really very welcome in the church family. We love to welcome you here. But don't think that coming to church makes you a Christian. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you're one of God's people. You need to be changed. And what an awesome privilege it is to be one of the people of God who gets to go and be in his place forever. Isn't that something that you want? If not, I'd like to know why not. If you haven't been changed, you still need help. Maybe you don't like accepting help. Maybe you don't really want to admit that you need help. But when it comes to your relationship with God, you need to be like that blind beggar. The blind beggar knew that he was helpless, and he knew that Jesus could help. And so he cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." That day, his life changed. And today could be the day that your life changes. There's an invisible line running through this room. There's a before, there's an after. Which side of the line are you on? If you can see this morning that you need help, if you can see that you really would love to be one of God's people, and if you can see that Jesus died so that you can be forgiven, then all you need to do is follow in the footsteps of the guys who are getting baptized today and cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And so I'm going to pray a prayer. And perhaps if you've never done it before, you might want to join with me and make this prayer your own. Just join in your head, in your heart. It's a prayer saying sorry to God and asking for his help. So let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Father God, I'm sorry for my rebellion. I'm sorry for the wrong things that I do, say, and think. I'm sorry I don't love the God who made me like I should love you. I admit that I can't do anything to help myself. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died in my place so that I can be helped, so that I can be forgiven, so that I can join the people of God. Please help me to live as one of your people. Amen.